Rabbi Menachem Leibtag, Friday morning, so I go through Isaiah and Hanukkah.
I'll make some tea in a second. If I remember correctly, last week, just remind me if this is what we did. I tried to show you how Hanukkah relates to the beginning of Beit Sheni. We saw the Nevuot of Haggai, I'm pretty sure. And we saw how in light of Yishayahu, we talked the second half of Yishayahu, of how there needs to be a Navi telling the people, translating, there's going to be a Navi who translates the historical events and saying that's from God. And that the fact that Koresh made this declaration that all these nations can go back to the land, was that the word of God or not? Now what I want to do now is show you in a later Nebuah, how later Nevim, in the beginning of Beit Sheni, how later Nevim understood what we call the Nevim Achronim. They're kind of called the Nevim Rishonim. Sometimes when you read Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu, they talk about a lot of different things that are going wrong. They talk about, about the Zara, they talk about Tzedek Mishpah, they talk about Chesed, they talk about Shvichut Damim and stuff. But when the people are coming back in Beit Sheni and they're promising, is it going to be better or not? What's going to happen? The question is going to be how they view what they're going to say. I'll say what I mean in a minute. Open up. We talked about Tzachariah last week also, or we just did Haggai?
Haggai.
We didn't do Tzachariah.
I think we did Tzachariah before.
Okay. So take a look at Tzachariah. And just look at the date of Tzachariah in the first line. The Haftarah for Hanukkah is going to be from Tzachariah Perek Vester Dalet, the famous menorah one. But I want to focus on something else first. In Tzachariah Perek Dalet, I'm sorry, Tzachariah Perek Aleph is the second year of Daryavesh, and from Tzachariah Perek Aleph through Vav is all from some center card is towards the back of Suryasar. It's kind of from Perek Aleph to Perek Vav, is all the second year of Dayavish. There's a famous thing, there's seven Nevuot there, the menorah is the middle one, three before the menorah, three after the menorah. There's all these articles on that. That we're not going to do. But look in Perek Zayin, in Tzachariah. Perek Zayin is the fourth year of Dayavesh. There's a Nevuah. And there's one other word of history we have to know. What we talked about last week was that in the second year of Dayavesh, they broke ground on the second temple and the groundbreaking ceremony on Hanukkah on the second year of Dayavesh. That was our topic last week. In the book of Ezra, we're told they finished completing this construction on the sixth year of Dayavesh in Adar. It took about 4 years to build it. And they make a big celebration. Now, therefore, during those 4 years, the temple is being constructed. The Nevuah of Perek Zayin in Tzachariah is in the fourth year of Dayavesh. Understand? The fourth year of Dayavesh, there's a Nevuah, and there's going to be a question, there's going to be a delegation from Persia, from Babylon, from the exile, coming to Yerushalayim and asking the rabbis in Yerushalayim a question, do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? This is a famous one. You'll be asking a question after the Six-Day War also. And the question is going to be, we have to see what the answer the Navi gives, but give me different reasons why they might be asking that question. In other words, they're going to say that we've been fasting on Tisha B'Av, we'll say four fast days, for the last 7 years, they're going to say. Now, what do they want to know? Should we continue fasting or not? So give me different ways you can understand their question. Remember, it's year two, it's 2 years into the building, but 2 years before it's completed.
Is this so, considered enough of Chazara?
I could question, the question could be assuming, if the construction is complete, then for sure we don't fast. Are they asking, is the construction complete yet? You follow?
Yeah.
In other words, they could be asking, is it really getting off the ground? Because last time they tried, 20 years back, it didn't get off the ground. So they might be asking, is this the real thing? But if it is the real thing, that they might be asking basically a technical question. Is this the real thing, yes or no? And wonder how the construction is going. Or it could be they're assuming the construction is almost finished, and for sure it's being done. The question is, do we continue fasting on Tishrei B'Av after the temple is destroyed? I mean, after the temple is rebuilt.
Rubel Pekulo. But they're clearly linking it to the Beit HaMikdash rather than some other national sovereign identification.
Yeah. Or it could be, that we'll get to that. Or it could be, they're saying, even if there is a, even if it is being built, is there, let's say we continue fasting, what's the point in fasting? When are you going to stop fasting on Tisha B'Av? We'll have to see. So what I want to do is read, what I wish actually to make a cup of tea now for you. But read on your own from Perek Zayin. We'll do the first part together because it's a little complicated. And then we'll do the, and then I'll tell you what to read. It'll take a minute.
So we asked that same question today?
What?
We asked the question similarly.
And we can answer, hopefully we'll get a better idea of how to answer based on what he said. He said, "Bayit b'shat arba l'dayah v'shem melech ha'edvar v'shem b'shayi v'arba l'chodesh b'tshi'i." Again, it's the Nebuah in the ninth month. Exactly 2 years after they started. "Vayshach v'et el shar etzer regim melech v'anashav l'chol p'nei Hashem." Now, did they send to the house, is Beit El someone's name? Or is Beit El where they're sending it to? And who's sending it? This guy Sar Esther and Regem Melech and his men. All these names are, seems to be Babylonian, but seems to be a Babylonian delegation coming to Yerushalayim to ask Lechalo Pnei Hashem. Lemor lakonim asher lebeit Hashem so the Nevim lemor hefkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishin ezer kasher siti zeh kama shanim. Do I continue crying on the ninth, on the fifth month? Should I, you know, hold myself back, refrain from drinking wine and things like that, like I've done for the last, let's see, how many years?
And that's what's asked the Navi, a halakha question, right?
So we'll see in a minute, yeah. So what I want you to do, I want you to read from Pasuk Dalet, read from Pasuk Dalet on to the end of Parakhet, you won't get that far. So read from Dalet, from Pasuk Dalet to the end of the Parakhet and the beginning of the next, and then I'll tie it together. This is what it's beautiful. water's not that hot, so I'll have to go back again. Okay. So first of all, did anyone catch the sarcasm in the beginning of his answer? Basically, the beginning of his answer is, go tell the people, when you've been fasting for the last 70 years, it means it's 70 years since the temple was destroyed, have I been fasting? What's God saying?
You've been eating.
And when you eat, right? Do I just tell you when to eat? I tell you when to fast? Or what God's basically saying, don't ask me Drabbanan, ask me Dioroses. Do you understand? Because who decided to fast? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that we have to fast. Amiso decided to fast. And it said, you decided to fast to remember the Churban. You decide when you eat. You're asking me? No, don't ask me questions. That's not a question for God. That's a question for you. You want to make that midrash, that's fine. But God's saying that's not, that's katana line. No, don't come with questions like that. And then he says, here's what you should be asking. You follow? That's what's beautiful about God's the sarcasm. That I ask you to fast, that I ask you to eat. But what should you be asking? You're basically asking, I'll turn into modern day Lashon. You're basically asking, is this Rishi Tzmichat Golotenu? No, if you're not going to fast, that means whatever happens, the destruction is over, we're back to normal. Are you asking, is this Rishi Tzmichat Golotenu? Yes. God's answer is, that's not up to me, it's up to you. I'm giving you an opportunity, but he says, just read what the earlier Nevi'im said. When Jerusalem was fine, before it was destroyed, when things were nice and quiet, we'll see what that's referring to. Says, look back at the time when things were quiet and good. When they were quiet and good, I began to warn you about your behavior, so it shouldn't be destroyed. Now you're coming back, if you want to know what God wants you to do, all the things I told you to do before it was destroyed. Got that answer? I'm not sure if you chapped it. Actually, it's good. Did you chapped that when he said that? Yeah. But look what he says. In Pasuk Zayin. Halo et edver mesher krash shem biyat hanvim harishonim, which we call nevim achronim. B'yot yushem yoshevet ushleva, when things were nice and quiet, and all the cities were still around before all the big destruction happened. B'negev ashrela yoshev. Now, the question is he talking about the time of Yoshiyahu, and referring to Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, or he's talking about the time of Uziyahu and referring to the Nevuot of Yishayahu? Because there were two times in Yerushalayim when things were going great. Things were going great like 200 years ago in the time of Yishayahu, in the time of Uziyahu when Yishayahu began his career, and things were also going great in the time of Yoshiyahu when the beginning of the return was about 100 years back, and they went sour in the time of during Yehoyakim, when Bavel came in. Was he basically talking about Churban of Ashur or Churban of Bavel? No. The truth is, it doesn't make much difference because both of them are saying pretty much the same thing. But when we get his final answer, we'll see if he's quoting more Yirmiyahu or quoting Yishayahu. And I'll try to see a bit of both.
Yeah. Why doesn't the Navi comment, what are you still doing there? What are they doing in Bavel if the Jews have returned?
He's going to get to that in the middle of Perichet. But that's for sure. That's what a Simonist rabbi would say today. Is how come you're asking questions? What do you care? The joke is, why are they caring Kislev? What's going on about fasting in Tisha B'Av? I'm saying they're planning summer camp, and the question when they're doing summer camp, did they do instructional swimming or regular swimming during the 9 days? They always have to be planning camp. Are we going to know what's going to be on the menu? We have to order the food and make all the things. So if everyone's been to summer camp, there's no problem. And when you're planning camp, are you planning milchiks or planning a seum? Or are you having, what activities can you do? Can you have band and music and things like that? And all the other things you can't do during the 3 weeks and 9 days. So that's always, so I'm saying they're planning camp in the summer, that's why they're asking questions already in Kislev.
They have to study yourself, you have to watch movies.
Yes, you can't watch it during
the 9 days.
Okay, now, listen to what he said. In light of this, we can see what was the big deal that brought the Churban. That's classic, he's focusing on the social justice part. Okay. But notice the phrase is Isha Tachiv. The Amanah B'Yatom B'Ger B'Ni Atah Shoku, V'rat Isha Tachiv V'Tachshu V'Vachem. If he's summarizing what the Nevi'im Rishonim were saying, I have a beautiful summary of what's the main message of the Nevi'im Rishonim. Now, not everyone sees that when they read Nevi'im Achronim, what they call Nevi'im Rishonim. A lot of people say, remember the big three? When people ask, what was the first temple destroyed? What's the classic answer they give? Remember, by Rishon was Gilor Shvichu Damim of Adazara, and by Sheni was Sinat Chinam? Do you realize that answer is not accurate? And people misunderstand. That's according to the Gemara is talking about something else. The discussion in the Gemara by Rishon was destroyed, those are all quotes, like the big three, is from the time of Menashe. And that's the reason why Ashur took over. But the Churban in the time of Yirmiyahu wasn't because of the big three. Now, what's happening in the time of Yirmiyahu is that God is not giving him another chance because of the sins of Menashe. Not because... If they were doing fine in the time of Yirmiyahu, there wouldn't have been a Churban. But God doesn't forgive them for their bad behavior in the time of Yirmiyahu, like he's done before, because it's piled up already. I've given you a second and third and fourth chance already. Enough is enough. There was a Gzar Din already, and Tamim Nashad was held back a little bit, and now it's time to... You have to do a lot to undo the Gzar Din. And they didn't do enough. We'll see that when we get to Yirmiyahu. So what's missing here, he's not talking about Avodah Zarah. If you remember by Cheney, Avodah Zarah is not a big problem. It's more Hellenistic culture is the problem. But idol worship is pretty much gone by the time you get to by Cheney. Now we talk about what happened in Bayit Rishon. By Manu Lakshid, they didn't listen. Now if you want to go back to Yeshayahu, that's Perek Aleph in Yeshayahu about Tzedek HaMishpat. Also Perek Hei with the Mashal HaKerem. And when you go to Yirmiyahu, you can't miss it. It's almost everywhere you turn in Yirmiyahu. We'll see where he's quoting from Yirmiyahu soon. Now, let me explain where I'm going with this. If I'm going back to Yirmiyahu, then the goal of redemption is simply being back in our land again and having our own place to live. Just simply having a Jewish state. If we're going back to Yeshayahu, then the goal of redemption will be when other nations are looking up to us and coming back to. You understand there's two different possibilities? When Yeshayahu talks about long-term goals in Perek Bet, we saw that. That Nahoni Har Beit Hashem Rosh Harim in Yisamik Vot, Benob Kol HaGoyim, remember Kimitzion Tei Tei Torah? Yeshayahu sees a Tkufa Mashiachit when we're doing so well that other nations are coming to learn from us. From if I'm talking about redemption, that's his like long-term goal of redemption, and that would be like Yimot HaMashiach. From Yirmiyahu's point of view, redemption is when we're no longer under foreign rule and we have our own country. We're living on our land again, we have our own country, and we can be the masters of our own destiny. Who cares about what other nations think? And you have almost the same thing nowadays. What's the goal of a Jewish state? Is it the goal of a Jewish state having a place for Jews to live? We're safe and there won't be anti-Semitism and we can make our own mistakes? Or is the goal of a Jewish state being a light to other nations? That was a big argument among in the early Zionism also. Is the goal just a vision of a state or a state with a vision? And that was, you know what the answer was. The ultimate goal was a state with a vision, but there's a value of a vision of a state. There's a value of a vision of a state even if the state doesn't have a vision. You can take it one step at a time. That was God's answer to Shmuel, wasn't it? When the people want a king. And Shmuel says, you're not ready for a king, because the way you're behaving, the reason you're asking for a king is you want a king just to fight your wars and have quiet. And he says, you're asking for the wrong reason, because you're asking for a state, you're not asking for a state with a vision. And God answers Shmuel, at least they're asking for a state. So first give them the vision of the state, and we'll worry about the state with the vision later on. And that'll be already in time of David. Okay, so now back to here. Okay. Then he says, so they didn't listen about Rishon, Pasuk Yudbet. V'dibam shamu shamir mishmot ha-Torah v'advarim ha-shashach ha-shem tzvot b'rocha v'yad nevim ha-rishonim v'yikes ha-gilom et ha-shem tzvot. That's a review of what happened about Rishon. V'yikasher k'ra v'lo shameu. I'm sorry, v'yikes ha-gilom et ha-shem, Pasuk Yudgimol. You understand what that meant? I called out to them and told them to do tshuva. They didn't listen. Therefore, when they called out to me, save me from the Babylonians, I didn't listen to them. And therefore, Besarem Me'al Kol HaGoyim Asher Lo Yidun Da'ar Shemachrim Be'aver B'Shav B'Yassim Ma'ar Kom Da'ar Shema. So I scattered them around the nations. No one was able to keep a bank account. That was supposed to be a joke. No one got the joke. Be'aver B'Shav. And they took a beautiful land and made it desolate. Okay. Then by Dvar Shem Tzvot Le'mor, Kol Ma'ar Shem Tzvot, Kinei Tzim Kinan Dola. This will be the key to understanding Hanukkah. God's going out of his way. He's zealous now. Beforehand. To destroy. Now he's zealous to bring us back. He's going out of his way to bring us back.
Why?
Why did he want us back?
That was the part that really bothered me. I missed a lot of the things you said. So I didn't understand why he's giving us a chance. Is it because we had enough? He had a punishment time.
So that was the first line of chapter 40 in Yeshayo in 2nd Isaiah. Remember? Nachmu nachmu ami. Okay. Talk to Yerushalayim Yerushalayim. Because they paid twice amount kiflai machatotel. They got punished too hard. Now I want you back. Why is basically going back to why God wants the nation at all? One of the biggest themes of Chumash is that God is choosing us for what we need to be, not for what we were. Being Jewish is not... We're not being rewarded for our forefathers' great behavior. It wasn't our forefathers were this wonderful, righteous people, and therefore they were so great that God said, your children and grandchildren and all your progeny is going to be blessed forever. That's sort of racism. In Chumash, what it's saying is, God wants a nation. He starts the nation with Avraham Avinu, and there must have been something about Avraham Avinu why he chose him, but you have a potential to be great and represent me and serve me. That's always your goal. That's always your destiny. If you live up to that, that's Jewish history. And if you don't live up to it, I'll punish you. But that goal always remains. And no matter how bad things are, there's always a safety net that ultimately I'll come and save you so in order that you can do it again. The goal of redemption is not being redeemed. The goal of redemption is becoming that nation. I'll give you an example. I call it Geula. It's the third cup, not the fourth cup. Anyone understand what I mean? Now, in Geula, people think we're waiting for the Geula. If you know the four cups, Geula is cup number three. Cup number four is Geula is getting out of Egypt. Geula is like when someone's sick in the hospital, the goal is to pray that he recover. He's out of the hospital. Now what does he do? Now he's going to live a life. The goal is not being healthy. The goal is what you do once you're healthy. So you need to first be healthy to become a productive person. But the goal is to be a productive person. So you pray to get out of the hospital, or you pray to get out of Egypt, you pray to get out of exile, but now that you're back in the country, now you have to get to Har Sinai and become my nation, and be a nation serving me. In order to be a nation serving God, you need a land, you need a country, you need an identity. You have to be in a position to sanctify God as a nation, you have to have a nation. And therefore, our goal in prayer is not that we have a nation in the land. Our goal is that we have a nation so in order that we can serve God properly. But if God gives us that nation and gives us, you know, autonomy or sovereignty and everything in the land, and good, and we don't use it properly, we can make the same mistakes again. That was exactly Isaiah's opening point. Remember with Mashal HaKerem? I took care of you. I watered you. We're like a Kerem. I planted the best things. All you need to do is give the fruit. Or two mishpat and tzedakah, I gave you the prosperity and you just misused it. So I sent you into exile. Now I'm planting you again. And the goal is not to be planted. The goal is to give fruit. And therefore, that's what he's saying here. Now I'm going out of my way. I want to give it another try because I want the goal to happen. But the goal is eternal. Understand? So that's why I give you a chance. Your question is in the beginning of Christianity. Where God, we mess up so many times, God says, act with this nation and let's try something else. So in Christianity, God changes the technology. In Judaism, God retrains the technicians. You understand the analogy? Am I keeping the same technology but just doing a better job? Or am I going to help starting with a whole new technology and how to bring God to mankind? Then, what's God saying, Pastor Gimel? From Hashem, Now, is that a prediction or is that direction? What's God saying? I'm returning to Yerushalayim and I'm going to dwell in Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim will be called a city of truth. How can God make Yerushalayim a city of truth? He can't do that, can he? Only we can do that. But I want to show you line by line, God saying, here's what I'm doing, here's what you need to do. The whole idea here is he's saying redemption is a two-way street. Hopefully we'll get to the Chanukah in a minute. You know that line, don't you? Mm-hmm. That's the famous one. And then he says in Pasuk Vav, you think it's impossible? I also think so, but it can happen. Okay. And then Pasuk Zayin, that's your question. You know what? I'm redeeming my people now from all corners of the earth, from the east and from the west. That's the sort of the hinting of call. How come you guys aren't here? You're like asking questions. You're asking stupid questions about fasting. You're asking technical things. Look at the big picture. Your questions are myopic. Look at the big picture. What's going on? That's cup number 4, isn't it? I'm redeeming you in order that you'll be my people, I'll be your God. But what's the metu b'tzaka? If you do a metu b'tzaka, then I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Then comes back to what we talked about last week. Kom Rashi, here's referring clearly to Chagai. Remember all the words your Nevi'im told you when they broke ground on the Second Temple. Isn't that Chagai what we read last week? On the day they broke ground on the Second Temple, we gave hopes of return to prosperity and hopes of return to sovereignty. Up until that point, before you broke ground on the Temple, life was terrible, things were falling apart. Now things are different. Now, it won't be like that anymore. Nature will go back and you'll be prosperous again. Going back to Mashal HaKerem, we saw Yeshayo, I'm going to go back and plant you again. You can get fruit again. But what do you need to do? We'll see in a minute. I'll do my side. Just like we're going back exactly to Mashal HaKerem. I'll do my side. But that's not the goal. The goal is I'm giving my side so you can do your side. I'm giving you another opportunity to plant a vineyard again. Just like you were, look at third world country, totally dispersed, there was nothing left of them. Just like you were sort of the benchmark of how bad a country could be, now you'd be the benchmark of how great a country can be. If what? If you have chizukin, you do your side. Now it gets explicit. Just like I plotted to bring you down, I brought the Babylonians, etc., to bring you down, to punish you. When I was angry with you, now I'm plotting to bring you back. It's what he's alluding to, what we saw before, that these current events, the rise of Persia, taking over Babel, Cyrus declaration, and Darius now, with a new administration, giving you an opportunity to build. That's God. God's plotting these events, but you have to do your stuff. Now, in case it wasn't clear what you need to do, this proves my two-way redemption point. Here's what you need to do, and listen to this again. That's what God hates most. God hates most Sinat Chinam. Remember I told you there's always good reasons for Sinat Chinam.
So how do we deal with
Parsha? What?
The rebuilding the temple today seems like it would create more contention than less. I mean, how do we deal with that today then?
Today we don't build the temple yet. First we build a society that's worthy of the temple. That's God's problem, not our problem. In other words, the Mizgah and Har Bayit, when they came back then, wasn't destroying something else that was there already. There was nothing there. Nowadays you do that, you're risking, you're risking destruction, you're risking world peace and everything. So that you have to ask a military person. But the goal, the Mikdash is not the goal. The Mikdash is a siman, not a siba. The Mikdash is a state where God would feel comfortable living in your society.
Proof you're doing something right.
Yeah, it's a sign. Yeah, the Mikdash doesn't bring the Shekhinah. The Mikdash reflects the Shekhinah. So when when you were a kid and you wanted to stay home, so your temperature, it's not the reason you're sick, it's the siman that you're sick. So when you have 39 fever, that's not the reason you're sick, that's the siman you're sick. So if you want to prove you're sick, remember you shake the thermometer up, so it looks like you're sick. So that doesn't make you sick, that's it. Or bring it down doesn't make you healthy. those are simanim. So building a mikdash, which is a siman, that's a phony remedy. You have to go, what's the reason? And therefore, you first have to build a society that's worthy of a mikdash, and then you have the mikdash. Rav Cook Senior writes this all, that's his main work. Yes, but Chumash is about also, the whole Mishkan stuff.
Meaning it's basically a process in which we will be able to build a mikdash,
yeah.
A mikdash
now, and that time,
when
yeah.
we are actually...
So, yeah, that's the difference between Mishkan and Mikdash. Mishkan is our reminder that we're God's people. Mikdash is when we go public. That's why the Mishkan is Pesach and the Mikdash is Sukkot, when they dedicate it. But you always need a reminder that you're God's people. You need your own symbol to remember you need to be dedicated to God. That's the Mishkan and the Mikdash. The Mikdash is when already you're a symbol for other people to look up to, and that becomes our icon that people come and look and visit. That's Isaiah chapter 2. So we're ready. So pretty much the shul nowadays replaces the Mishkan, the Mikdash. Our constant reminder we're God's people and the need to be good and the place to learn and study, that's the big Knesset, the Mishkan.
But it sounds like the Hashmonaim pushed this temple project, created a war.
Yeah, we're going to get, in 1 minute we'll get there, in 3 minutes. Let me just finish what he says here. Now listen to what he said. So notice again what you need to do. He doesn't talk about idol worship. He doesn't talk about Shabbat or anything. He talks about primarily a good chavra. The famous line. The fast days, not just Tisha, but all four fast days. Not only aren't they going to be fast days, they become holidays, which is really strange. But on what condition? Zemet v'shamahavu. That's not a prediction, that's direction. If you want to get rid of the, he finally answers the question after a whole speech. You want to know, but you have to fast or not? That's up to you. But if you fix the reasons that caused the destruction in the first place, now you need to fast. Those fast days can mean holidays because you remember that you did Shiva. Also, the fast days are also days that could have been holidays because Shiva Sabbatamus could have been Yom HaTan Torah and Tishvav could have been the day we entered, could have been Yom HaTzmaut. Have we nothing with the Mraglim? And some Gedalia is Rosh Hashanah anyhow. And so Batevis is probably the winter solstice holiday. That's too long this year. Now comes the big part. Pasachal. Kol Mashem Tzvot, Odesh Yavo Amin, V'Yoshvei Arim Marbon. V'Hu Yoshvei Achat Achat, Nemor Nechav Halokh, Lachot Pnei Hashem, V'Vakesh Hashem Tzvot Elcha Gamani, V'Vo Amin Rabim, V'Gayim Atzumim, V'Vakesh Hashem Tzvot B'Yishayim, V'Lachot at Pnei Hashem. That's Yishayel, isn't it? Now he's going who? He's going long-term vision. And the only time when it makes sense to get rid of the fast days is once you've achieved your goal. Now, you're not fast to remember what happened, you're fast to remember why it happened and what goal remains. And he's saying, when you've reached your ultimate goal, then that's the reason to celebrate and no longer to fast. But till you reach that goal, you have to remember what your goals are. And again, you're fast to remember why it happened, not what happened. And then finally, Kol Mashem Tzvot Yamim Hem Sheyachzik Hasra Anashim B'chol Lashon Tagoyim V'chzik B'chnaf Ish Yudi Lemar Nechayim Achem Ki Shema Nahim Imachem. We'll go back to that before Purim. That's, it'll be so crowded in Yerushalayim that 10 non-Jews will be waiting, looking for guidance from one Jew, from an Ish Yudi. Remember, Ish Yudi is here in the Megillat Esther, and that's it, but that's Ish Yerushalayim Purim. Now, let's go, that's Zechariah's big message 2 years into the building. Let's go back to what he said 2 years earlier, right after they began construction. That's the Haftarah for Hanukkah, which is like 2 months in Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin, the 24th day of the 11th month of Shvat, of the 10th month, which is exactly 2 months after they broke ground on the temple, 2 months after Haggai. And what's he saying? In Pasuk Tet Zayin, V'chein Komer Hashem Tzvot, Shabti Yushan Barachmi Biti, Bane Banu Hashem Tzvot, V'kavi Nateh, saying, God wants to bring the Shekhinah back. He's returning. A Kav is like the crane. It's a plumb line, but it's a builder's line. It's part of the building. And then in Pasuk Yadalad in Perek Vet, Roni Vesim Chibat Tzion Ki Nibav V'Shachanti B'Tochech. In Perek Vet in Zechariah. That be happy. No, obviously the people aren't so happy. Rejoice, be happy, because God is bringing the Shekhinah back. And look carefully now. Sinuvuv goyim rabim el Hashem b'yamhu. V'yudli la'am v'shachanti b'toch Yerushalayim. B'Tochech. Yisad ki Hashem Tzod Shachani Aleich. Again, he's giving long-term vision to other nations coming to visit us. But basically, Jerusalem can be great again, just like Haggai was talking about. Then he has a vision of Yeshua, some get your act together, get rid of your dirty clothes or your tamei clothes, and clean up your act. He basically gets the kohanim and the educators working back again. And then in Perek Dalet, that's the famous nevuah, that we read for the Haftarah next week. He wakes me up in the middle, and he has a vision. What do you see? Remember the famous menorah he sees, which is this symbol of the state of Israel today. The menorah outside the Knesset is built on this nevuah, with seven branches and two olive branches on top. Now, what does it mean? In Pasuk Hey, what's the meaning of the menorah with the 218? He said, I don't know. Tell him as follows. What's that mean? So Chayu here doesn't mean army. Chayu here means what do you call it? Not money. Prosperity. Chayu means a strong economy. He's been talking about Koach. That's military strength. What Nevi talks about Chayu and Koach? That was exactly Haggai when they dedicated the Second Temple. They were talking about economic return to economic prosperity and return to military power, return to sovereignty. He's not arguing with Haggai. He's saying that's not the goal of redemption. It's not only about Chayu and Koach. Kim Bruchia Marshem Tzvot. It's more about Ruach, spirituality, working, representing God. And with Chayu is coming to balance, Haggai's setting a goal, Haggai's sort of recalibrating the vision of a state. I mean, having a strong economy and having an army and having sovereignty. And Chayu now is giving the state with a vision. So sometimes when we're beginning a redemption process, the only thing you see on your radar, oh, I can be free again, I can be my own country again, I can be back in my own land. Which is important. And that's exactly the vision of Haggai, and that's going to inspire the people to get moving. But what Chayu is saying, that's not the ultimate goal. Those are kelim to get to a higher vision, to a nation with a vision. But he's not belittling what Haggai is saying. He's saying it's not important at all. It's not only about Chayu and Koach, Kim Baruch Hu. Now, in my opinion, that's why, now we've depicted Haftarah for Hanukkah, that's why Chazal put all the emphasis of the holiday after Korban HaBayit on the Tach HaShemen. Now, but the whole shirah to do in 3 minutes, but I won't do the whole shirah. Everyone knows that in Second Temple literature in Sefer Maccabim, there's no mention of Nes Tach HaShemen. You're aware of that, I'm sure. And the people say they made it up and everything. And we only find it, and all of a sudden, after the Qurban, in Halachic literature, Chanukah is just about lighting candles. No. So we have the Al-Anisim, we have lighting the menorah. The Chanukah, when it was instituted, so our whole point was that the date of Chanukah must have been an important day all through Beit Sheni, even before the time of the Hashmonaim, and that's why the Hellenists, or the Jewish Hellenists, the Misavnim, they picked that date to desecrate it, and that's why the Maccabees picked that date to rededicate it. Remember, the date was picked on purpose because, remember, the darkest time of the year and giving light. That was by 8 days. But that time of year, it can't be by chance, it's the exact same date that they built it to, that they broke ground on it and held the vision of return to sovereignty and prosperity. No, it was saying, we're fulfilling Haggai, we want to fulfill that goal of Haggai. That's a reason why they picked the date. And during Beit Sheni, it was a national holiday, just like Yom Yerushalayim and Yom Ha'atzmaut. We didn't say Tachnun, but like all the other days of Megillat Tanit. Every month had a couple national holidays, where there's no Hesperim and no, basically no Tachnun kind of days. All the dates of Megillat Tanit were nullified, except for two, Purim and Hanukkah. I hope you're aware of that. The Gemara's question isn't, why did they establish the holiday? Why did we continue to celebrate Hanukkah, even though the temple was destroyed? Because what's the point of celebrating our sovereignty and defeat of the Greeks and return to Malchut Yisrael, like the Rambam talks about? Why celebrate that after we don't have it anymore? It's like celebrating the anniversary. No, that's a bad example.
After
the horse, yeah. Depends on how much you enjoyed. Some people might. Never mind. You get in trouble for jokes like that. I'll get divorced for jokes like that.
Not that bad.
Okay. So again, why celebrate? So the idea is that we continue to celebrate Hanukkah not for what happened, what can happen again. And therefore, Hanukkah became again a holiday of hope. What represents the hope of one day fulfilling a greater goal again? That's going to be Nes Pach HaShemen. Because the whole idea of finding, remember the miracle in the Pach? The miracle was in the Pach, not in the menorah. Remember, the Pach kept on filling up. The miracle was a little coin came at night and filled it up when no one was, when no one was looking. But I think if what the rabbis say, Mitzvah Shemen is a siman, not a sibah. It's not the reason. It's a reminder that the Hashmonean victory is from God. But in my opinion, it's also a reminder from God, don't only talk about Chagai, talk about Zechariah. Is that my point? If I just celebrate the military victory, I'm focusing on Chagai. When I talk about the menorah, I'm focusing on Zechariah. What ultimately led to the fall of the Hasmonean Empire? It lasted maybe, you know, almost 100 years. Too much koach and not enough ruach. They became stukim, they became corrupt, the whole thing. They missed the key message. Something went wrong. If I'm going to remember the victory, I have to remember also why they, again, what Tari was saying, why it went bad. Remember what went wrong? What went wrong was they took that military victory and they didn't use it the right way.
It was a good start.
What? It was a good start, but you didn't finish up. If God's going to restart you again, you need to know what to do to make sure your restart goes right. And that's going to be a thing, and that's why, in my opinion, as I say, even if the rabbis made it up, that makes it even more important for the Chanukah candle. And if the message of the menorah is Tariah, which is exactly that prayer for this message, then for the state of Israel today, there's probably no better message, considering the way we celebrate Chanukah and what we're thanking God for. It became a secular, nationalistic holiday. It returned to its original thing, and now lighting Chanukah candles, especially for Dati Lomi people, is probably the most important. That's why you